Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. What I have been doing in the month of December, as this church well knows, I generally start preaching Christmas type messages in the whole month of December. And what I'm doing this year is I'm actually singling out the classic Christmas chapter, which is Luke chapter 2, but I'm going a little bit further than that. I'm singling out just one verse or one thought in a verse from this great chapter. Normally, we can expect to hear the reading, the recitation of Luke chapter 2 every year at Christmas time, whether it's Christmas plays, cantata presentations, or whatever the case might be. But today I want us to look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 14. And for the sake of emphasis, I'm just reading, deliberately just reading one verse. I know that everyone today in this church service, if you are familiar with any portion of God's Word relative to the Christmas story, it's Luke chapter 2. So you well know the content, but let me just read one verse, chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, and it came to pass, or and suddenly, I was looking at verse 15, sorry about that, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This morning, I want to address the thought subject, on earth peace, on earth peace. Notice, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Let me pull three words from this verse, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning we approach the throne of grace with thanksgiving, rejoicing in our souls. Our hearts have been blessed and stirred as we've been reminded in song of the great Christmas story. We thank you, our Father, for the great truth of these two songs. And our Heavenly Father, bless now the preaching of the Word of God today. I pray for those that are upon our prayer list. Now, Father, speak to our hearts at this hour, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at this verse and three words within this verse, we automatically run into what we would consider to be a paradox. A paradox. On earth, peace. On earth, peace. As we weigh that verse in the context of the times that we're living, it would seem like it's a paradox. On earth, peace. We've never known peace on this earth as far as globally. We've never known peace on this earth, even in terms of our country, constantly. We leave one state of war, we're ushered into another state of war. It would seem to be a paradox. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that we would consider to be a paradox. Things that just simply do not make sense. Statements, stories, lines that do not make sense. Now let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. A paradox. Now here's a paradox. Have you noticed that when it comes to our mailing system, talking about the post system, have you noticed that bills travel faster than checks? We'd call that a paradox. Here's another thought. If a number two pencil is so popular, why is it still number two? Here's another thought. If someone says, I always lie, are they telling the truth or are they lying? I heard of an interesting story of a man that was arrested, winds up in court, he'd been shoplifting. Judge asked him, he says, why are you here in court? The man said, for shopping too early. The judge said, well, how's that a crime? He said, how early were you shopping? He said, before the doors opened. Somebody also observed this. They said, it seems rather strange that at Christmas time, people sit around dead trees eating candy and snacks out of their socks. Some of y'all act like you didn't get that. Bernard Manning You probably cannot associate with a name, but someone known for wit and wisdom. Bernard Manning said, he said there's three phrases that sum up the season when it comes to Christmas. He said, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and batteries not included. Now, let's try as much as possible to transition to a more serious state of mind. When we think of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, it doesn't make sense unless it's accepted by faith. There's no way that our minds can be wrapped around the fact that God would become man unless we accept it by faith. You see, it has the appearance of a paradox. Now think about it. The infinite becomes an infant. How can that be, like the trio saying? The infinite becomes an infant. He was eternal, but yet he's born of a woman. He supports the universe, yet he still needs to be carried in his mother's arms. A paradox. A paradox. You know, the angels announced and sang the praises of the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger. They sang the praises. They came to the shepherds. They announced the good news. They sang the song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, a part of that song was sung before the foundation of the earth. The angels would have sung that song before the foundation of the earth, glory to God in the highest. But then they added the stanza, on earth peace. On earth peace. Now think about that, on earth peace. I think sometimes it's good for us to understand, though, that when we look at that verse, when we really dig into what it's saying, actually the verse, and look at it again with me, please, verse number 14. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. The thought is really peace among men with whom God is pleased, or peace to men of goodwill. Actually, when you study the verse out, it's simply making known the fact that peace is only really known by people that have been made right with God. In other words, peace is only enjoyed by those who are at peace with God when it comes to the matter of peace. But now, coming back to what I'm saying, though, the angels, excuse me, sang that song as they made that great announcement, but yet in the Garden of Eden, that peace had been lost. Go back to the Garden of Eden. They did not sing that song in the Garden of Eden, for man had fallen. And since the day when cherubim with fiery swords drove out men, there was no peace on this earth except in the heart of redeemed sinners. Now today in this church service, many of you, if not most of you, possibly all of you, know what I'm talking about. When we talk about peace on earth, you understand that to mean peace in your heart. You understand that to be because of grace. You understand that peace on earth is only something of the heart. When God comes in, when Christ saves us, we have peace with God, do we not? Peace with God, and then thank God, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. But it does seem to be a paradox. There had been no peace on earth since Adam fell. But now when the newborn king made his appearance, the swaddling band with which he was wrapped up became a white flag that suggested a peace treaty. And because of the fact that the manger would wind up becoming the cross, because Jesus would die on that cross, thank God that's how peace entered this world. Because of the fact that he is the Prince of Peace, because he came on time, was born the way God said he'd be born, and died on that cross in accordance to time, and was raised also in accordance to time, we today can know peace. You see, the manger would result in the cross. And on the cross, the arch enemy of man's soul would be defeated. He destroyed principalities and powers. The greatest victory that has ever been scored took place on Calvary, didn't it? When Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank God today for that truth. Now, there's blessed peace with God, and there's blessed peace of God. I want you to note something here. The angels continued with an additional lyrics. They spoke of goodwill. Peace to men of goodwill. Peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now here is something that's rather sobering that needs to be pointed out. Understand today, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Understand there is no peace today in the sinful, violent heart of a sinner. In fact, when God looks down upon this world today and sees it in the mess it's in, he sees first of all human heart that's causing that mess. In fact, think about this. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, but had rather that he should turn unto me and live. Then don't you love what Isaiah said? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall become as wool. God's desire, God's plan, God's pursuit is that people today would embrace the truth of salvation through the precious one whose birth we're celebrating this year. God, in a sense, and I thought about this, it's like God pointed his finger to the manger and Christ was born. And it's like God said, sinner, if you don't think I have goodwill toward you, then you understand I have just parted with my son. If I had not goodwill towards human race, would I have given my son to become one of that race? That he might, in my doing so, he would die on the cross. Every one of you today know the background of the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I've referenced it quite often around this time of the year because I think there's a great Christmas story in the background of that song. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Let me mention, written by Longfellow. And let me tell you a little bit about this, and just kind of excuse me because I've been over this before, but I do like to think about the background of this song. 1861, 2 years before writing the poem that would become the song, Longfellow's personal peace had been shaken. His second wife of 18 years burned in a fire, died in a fire. 1863, during the American Civil War, Longfellow's oldest son, Charles Longfellow, joined the Union. He joined the Union to become a soldier without his father's blessing. Longfellow did not want his son to serve in a Union army. Charles became appointed as a lieutenant. November of the same year he joined, he was wounded in the battle of New Hope Church in Virginia. And he eventually recovered. But the problem was he was wounded so mortally that he would never, his soldiering days was over. Longfellow looked out and saw the condition of this world the way it was. And he wrote this. And you know this is the lyrics of the song. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Longfellow is the author of that song, writing it with a backdrop of losing his wife, writing it with the backdrop of his son being wounded in the Civil War in a battle, looking at the world the way it was, seeing the turbulence, seeing North against South, seeing people dying. He said, where is peace? Where is peace? But yet as he wrote the song, it dawned on him there was peace to be found. And that peace is in the one who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Now, this morning, rather quickly, I want to just mention three words, three thoughts about on earth peace, and then we'll go home. First of all, let's look at the word defined. What does it mean? The word peace. The word defined. Actually, the dictionary tells us it's the absence of war. The absence of war. But yet for the child of God, we see something deeper. It's an inner quality of those that have been reconciled to God by saving grace. It's an inner quality. Now, what have we seen in this day and time? We look at the 20th century. We think of the two major world wars. We consider the history of the wars of our nation. We think of the two world wars being followed by the Korean War. We think of the Korean War being followed by the Vietnam War. We think of the Vietnam War being followed by the war against terror. Our involvement in Iraq, our involvement in Afghanistan, our involvement in various other hot spots around this world. While I stand here speaking today, people are dying. While I stand here speaking today, bombs are being dropped. Missiles are being fired. People are losing their lives in combat. It seems like a paradox. On earth peace. On earth peace. A paradox. Bloodshed galore. Constantly nothing. We're hearing nothing but a continual barrage of terrible news. Someone else died. X amount of troops got killed. All kinds of things have happened. Terrorist attacks. You know how it is. On earth peace. That seems to be a paradox. And yes, humanly speaking, it is. But guess what? You and I today know there's something real. We understand today that war is not the final message this world will ever know. It's going to be peace. The final word that this world will know will not be the word war. It'll be the word peace. Thank God, Handel's Messiah will one day become a reality. Thank God swords are going to be beaten in plowshares. Thank God there's coming a time upon this earth there'll be no need of military. People will not be dying because the King of Glory, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the one whose birth we celebrate, will be sitting on the throne of his father David. I'll tell you, God has a plan. God has a purpose. I'm glad the Bible is inspired, aren't you? I'm thankful that all of the events of the Bible are orchestrated by divine providence. And the same precious little baby that was held in the Virgin's arms is the Lord of Glory, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Yes, as the song sang, was presented this morning, that same precious little baby that the Magi visited, the shepherds visited. In all of the scenes that's created our Christmas nativity scenes, when all of that was happening, God's word was finding fulfillment. The plan was in order. That same one that was held in the Virgin's arms holds this world in existence. The same God who was born, we could say, as far as his humanity, that same God has always existed. He holds all things in his hand. But oh, it seems like a paradox. On earth, peace. There is no peace on this earth in terms of our geography, in terms of, as we think of the military, as we think of the unrest, the violence, the wars, there is no peace. But oh, thank God, there's peace in our hearts, Christian. We that know the Lord, we have real peace. It's been signed and ratified by the blood of Christ. It'll never be taken away. The greatest joy that I have on Christmas is to know that I know the one that was born. To know that He lives in my heart. And to know that one day I'm going to live with Him and reign with Him. Amen. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The millennium will be the answer to that. Amen. Peace defined. What about peace described? Peace described. Well, here's a good verse. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Peace defined, but what about peace described? Let me describe it. I already have it. Let me furthermore reiterate it. Peace with God, Romans 5:1. Peace of God, Philippians 4. Been a lot of songs written that we listen to, we enjoy, and we love Christmas carols. And we love the Christmas music. What about the song that says, no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. You see, the grown-up Christmas list is filled inwardly when a sinner humbles down before the Holy God and receives Christ as Savior. The grown-up Christmas list will be filled one day globally when the King sits on the throne. Psalm 72:7. In His days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. An abundance of peace. And abundance. We fought a war that was supposed to end all wars. We've sat at negotiating tables many times as a nation, and we've signed documents that hopefully would be the end of military conflict. But it's never worked. It's never worked. But I like that verse, don't you? The verse says, abundance of peace. Abundance. You know, the only person that can straighten this world out is the one that made this world. The only way that human minds will think right and people will love each other the way we should is God's got to do the work in people's hearts. Many lives are torn apart, but thank God I know one that puts lives back together. Amen. I know one that takes an old, wretched, miserable, cruel, wicked, ungodly, hell-bound, out-of-control sinner, comes into that person's life, and strife ends. The white flag of surrender goes up, and that person acts different, walks different, talks different, lives different, and loves people for change. I know what God can do, and so do you. Think back, Christian. Remember the time when war raged in your soul? Remember the time you fought against God? You traveled away from God as fast as your legs would run and carry you. Well, I'm glad that God ran us down, aren't you? He ran us down. I have enjoyed my Savior now for over 40 years. And I can tell you, I know that there's no peace in this world, but I can raise my hand and say, I know where there is peace. It's in my heart. I one time, like many of you in this service, put on a military uniform and went off to war and fought in a war that has never ended. It still goes on. And people are still being deployed and people are still dying. I raised my hand then. But it wasn't lasting because the war keeps raging. But you know, when you raise your hand and say, I do, I accept Christ, then the war ends in the soul and it doesn't break out again. Thank God today, peace defined, Peace described. Here's how I describe it. It's something of the heart. It's something inward. It's when the prince comes in. And then finally, the word delivered. Delivered. Peace is delivered first class in the person of Christ. First class delivery. You know, this time of the year is interesting as far as mail service, isn't it? I hope you've already mailed your packages out by now. Most of you will probably be getting Christmas packages late. They'll not make it before the magical date. Why? Because the mail service, mail carriers are inundated, overrun, overcome with such bulk of deliveries. But and you know, you can mail something first class if you want to, but there's still not so much time to get it out, right? But you know, when God does a work, He does it first class. Amen. He saves first class. Doesn't take long. And what God does, He does a good job and He does it quick. Now, I understand, you understand, we've taught it, we've preached it, we grow, yes, we mature, we develop, and so forth. But I'm talking about the initial thing of peace. Justification. Instant. Takes place in a hurry. We've talked, you know, we've gone to 1 Corinthians 15, we preached about the rapture, about the translation of the body, moment and twinkling of an eye. We're familiar with that, right? You know, when the Lord comes back and we're changed, it's going to be in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be rather quick, in other words. Well, I believe salvation just as quick. When a sinner says yes to Christ, peace immediately comes in. Peace delivered through the Lord Jesus. Thank God the Grinch will never steal our Christmas. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached in the Gentiles, believing on the world, and received up in the glory. Now I'll tell you another story I tell every Christmas. And here it comes again. One of the best I've ever heard. The man, you've heard it. In fact, you could tell it to me, the man and the birds. The old story Paul Harvey tells. And I'd say, you keep listening to radio, you'll hear his story of the man and the birds. I'm just going to paraphrase it because we're going to be through shortly. Winter night, a man hears some tapping on his window sill. And to his surprise, it's a snowy night, stormy snowy night. He sees a bird flying up against the window. Man gets to thinking, those birds need some shelter. Those birds need some security. So he takes food out and attempt to feed them. Doesn't work too well. He's thinking of a way that maybe he can guide those birds in a place of shelter. And again, I'm kind of paraphrasing how Paul Harvey told it. He thought, I'll spread breadcrumbs. They'll follow me in and I'll let the breadcrumbs lead to a place of shelter. And the birds will eat, come into the shelter. But that didn't work. And then the light came on. And that's the part of the story I like. The man's thinking, if I could be like a bird, if I could just communicate and talk to them in a way they could understand, then I'd have no trouble convincing them. And then the light really came on. He said, that's exactly what God did. How can God communicate with man? I'll tell you how. By becoming flesh. God became man. He's able to communicate. He took upon himself our humanity. He ate as we ate. He played in the carpenter shop, worked in the carpenter shop, played with the kids. A human being, very God as well as very man. He was one of us, except without sin. But yet he's truly man. He communicates. He's able to identify with the object of his redemption. In order for God to die, he had to become man because God can't die. But in order for God to provide a substitute for man, God had to become man, but yet he could not be sinful as man. He had to be sinless. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that. He qualified. He communicated that truth because when he died as man. But yet because he's God, his sacrifice was perfect. And God could accept his sacrifice. My friend, that's how God communicates to us today. Through his precious Son. He saves us for Christ's sake. He blesses us for Christ's sake. He communicates because of the Lord Jesus. That's how. And that's the answer today as to how and why we have peace. It's because we know the one who is peace. Let's pray.